I know it's here somewhere. Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
Yes, once again, we're here, you're there, and all's right with the multiverse. Yes. We've got stuff for you today. It's different kinds of stuff. Stuff that's different. Anyway, for some geek culture, I must admit, I got slack. I decided not to scour the internet and look for new and exciting geek culture, because most of what's out there these days is lame. So I'm going back to the past, a wave from the past that's going to hit us very strongly right in the middle of the midsection. Anyway, the point is, this is a bit of history. Yes. This song that I'm about to play is a song that was the very first song played, very first music video played on MTV when it started back in the 80s. A bit of history. And the whole idea of this song by the Bangles, which I must admit didn't do a whole lot after they did this song, anyway. The whole idea of this song is that video killed the radio star. The idea was is that everybody listened to the radio. They listened to their rock music on the radio. And now here's MTV coming along showing you videos all day long. So this song was about video killing the radio star, and we'll follow it up with a further permutation of the phenomenon as we continue with the podcast. So without further ado, here is the Bangles with Video Killed the Radio Star. Yes. Actually, it helps if you flip the little button. Ha, ha, ha. Amazing how that works. Anyway.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Video killed the radio star.
want you to consider several things about this song. First of all, note the date that's mentioned, 1952. Prominent date there. Also, put the blame on the VTR, video tape recorder. Of course, we don't use tape anymore. We now record directly to a hard drive, so it's a digital video recorder, DVR. Quite a few things have changed since this song came out. But that's not the least of it. Now, instead of just video killing the radio star, now we have the internet killing the radio, or the video star. Gotta get it right. Video killed the radio star, internet killed the video star. Yes. So here is a parody song by a group called the Broad Band. Get it? They're all ladies, the Broad Band, yes. Well, anyway, here is Internet Killed the Video Star. Now, in this one, we mentioned the year 1992, which, of course, was the invention of the World Wide Web by Sir Tim Berners-Lee, before he was Sir Tim Berners-Lee. He was just a master's student. But there you go. Internet killed the video star. Blame it on the DVD-R. I just find the history involved in all of this fascinating, don't you? Anyway, cool stuff. That's our geek culture for this week. Trust you enjoyed that trek down memory lane from video killing the radio star to internet killing the video star, and who knows what's next in this great multiverse of internethood. Ha ha. Anyway, we got some stuff for you this week, though. Before I mention it, I should mention the blog, of course, drbill.cc for Computer Curmudgeon. Go there and find all kinds of techie goodness that you will enjoy. And, of course, we are...
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeedy. We're proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, as well as the Blueberry Network.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com. Go there. Find all kinds of good podcasts of various strange types. There's just not just tech there, you know. There's all kinds of podcasts there. Anyway, matter of fact, the Game Master's Bin Spin podcast is there. And we all know how weird that is. Yes. Anyway, so, here's the thing. Let me tell you about some stuff on the blog. If you go to the blog and you look at the upper right-hand corner, you'll find an ad for Go to My PC. Now, I will say this. This month of September, today being September the 13th as I record this, this month is the last month that we will have Go to My PC as a sponsor of the podcast. So you only have a very short time to click on that link and get 30 days free of Go to My PC. So I'd encourage you to do that right now. Click on it and get 30 days free for Go to My PC. Absolutely free. You will benefit from it greatly. So do that. All right. Also, don't forget the Shameless Commerce Center. You click on that, takes you to the bottom of the page on the blog, and you have all kinds of good stuff you can click on. Just go nuts, you know? Just click on all of it. Yes, it'll be good for you. Get that trigger finger all nice and exercised from the clicking. Now, let's go to our tech news, shall we? First item, live migration feature for Microsoft's Hyper-V is 2 years out. Now, as I've told some of you before, I am a certified VMware professional, and I work for High Point Regional Health System, where I run the ESX, VMware ESX server cluster there, as well as being the Citrix system administrator. But at any rate, VMware does all kinds of very cool things, not the least of which is being able to migrate live from one host to another when you have a virtual machine. So the virtual machine set on top of the host server, and then they can migrate from one host to the other, like say if a host needs to be taken down and worked on or whatever, right in the middle of the day while people are using it. They don't even miss a beat, and if you're pinging, you don't even miss a ping. It is absolutely amazing. However, cool as that feature is, and necessary as that feature is in a large enterprise setup, Microsoft's Hyper-V won't have it for 2 more years. They were promising it much earlier than that, but apparently have run into problems, and so it will be 2010 before they have live VM migration, which of course is lame. Microsoft has done it again. They have had an ultimate fail. All right, so as I wrote this particular article on September the 9th, here's what I said. What do you have planned for Thursday? Well, the reason being that scientists, you know these scientists, they're such wild and crazy guys, they cranked up the Large Hadron Collider at CERN in France. Basically, you have this giant ring built underground. Matter of fact, under farmland. So you got to wonder if the farmers are out there going, dude, what's that rumbling we hear under the ground? Anyway, 11 miles of this ring under the ground. Now, of course, they use kilometers, but you know, we're Americans, we use miles. Anyway, it's big ring, and they have now, get this, listen closely, they have streams of protons, these proton beams that they shoot through this circular doohickey, and it goes round and around and around and around 11,000 times a second. Those are fast little protons, I'm telling you. They really put it in B for boogie and get out of there. Okay, but the thing is, they were going to crank it up. And this was going to be Wednesday when they were going to crank it up. And everybody was concerned the world was going to end on Wednesday. Well, today, as I record this, is Saturday, and the world obviously didn't end. But here's the thing. The scientists that are so freaked out, saying that the world might end, are being misquoted, because it's not just cranking it up and sending protons around and around at 11,000 miles per second, whatever, 11,000 times per second. No, it's not that that's the problem. The problem is, as we all know from watching Ghostbusters, is when you cross the streams. Yes, the proton beams, remember they had proton packs in Ghostbusters? Well, the proton beams, they're going to cross the streams. When they cross the streams, they're expecting something. They don't even know what. Could be black holes. Could be new types of matter created. Could be dark matter created. Could be they'll get a pistachio ice cream out of it. I don't know. The point is, they don't know either. Bunch of weird scientists. So anyway, that's not supposed to happen for like another several months. Probably next spring sometime when they cross the beams. Remember what they said in Ghostbusters. Don't cross the beams. That would be bad. Okay? So, when they do, if the world blinks out of existence, you'll know why. So anyway, in my article, I said, will the world end on Wednesday? And I said I could never get the hang of Thursdays. A strange reference to, of course, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Which we all know and love, of course. Well, there it is. As I clear my throat, the Geek Software of the Week. Oh, boy. The Geek Software of the Week this week is Password Corral. Sounds very cowboyish, doesn't it? The problem is, you've got all these websites, you've got all these applications, you've got all these things, and you've got to remember passwords for all of them. Unless, of course, you're not safe and you're, you know, just use the same password for everything. How lame is that? Anyway, so you come up with this really super secure password for everything, and you forget it, or you write it down on a napkin, which is not secure either. So, what if you had a special application that you could list all your secure passwords in that was highly encrypted, and the only way you could get into it was another special password, but you only had to remember one because you had all the rest of them in the corral, you see. Get it? Anyway, Password Corral is a freeware, that's right, it's free, password manager with a clean, easy-to-use interface, strong encryption, and all the features you would expect from a program that you'd have to pay for, but you don't. So there you go, Geek Software of the Week, Password Corral, if you've been looking for it. Now you know where to find it. There's a link there in the blog you can click on and go get it. Also this week, next item, a new Apple iTunes update, version 8. Now there's a later item that talks about the fact that version 8 of Apple iTunes broke Vista, caused a blue screen of death. Of course, I'm not running Vista, so I installed iTunes version 8 and had no problems whatsoever. And I know that iTunes shouldn't have broken Vista, but Vista's just so lame. I'm sorry, it's just lame. Anyway, they have several new features in there. The most talked about one is one called the Genius feature, which apparently allows you to recommend podcasts and music and other things that you can get in iTunes to other people. So there you go, kind of a takeoff on Apple's Genius folks that they have at their Apple stores, I suppose. Yes. Next item, Apple's new iTunes 8.0 is causing Vista besods. That's blue screens of death, of course. And of course, I just mentioned that it's breaking Vista badly. Apparently it has something to do with a driver that has something to do with USB, but I don't care because I don't use Vista, and I encourage everyone else not to use Vista. So there you go. Now, the big news this week, of course, was the Large Hadron Collider. Sounds like a rock group or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, we listen to the Large Hadron Collider, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the big news because everybody was really thinking the world might end on Wednesday, but of course it didn't. You know, I mean, that was kind of lame. But I'm telling you, it's because they didn't cross the streams. They get around to crossing the streams, weird things are going to happen. I mean, what if little bitty black holes appear and start swallowing people up? Thoop, thoop, you know, and people start disappearing. And they're all going, dude, you know, my cousin Fred, he got swallowed by a black hole. I know it's them French dudes over in CERN with their Large Hadron Collider. They're the ones to blame. Scientists. First they come up with global warming, which is lame. Now they come up with giant circular rings under the French countryside that cross proton streams. Oh, and something else that it might do, it might even create like small solar, tiny little solar systems, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of weird theories out there of things that might happen. But the scientists themselves say they don't know what's going to happen. That would seem to me to be a bad idea. Now, for our last item, we get a little insight into the kind of scientist that's working on the Large Hadron Collider. This is from an article in Gizmodo, which is a very strange kind of a bloggish publication. But it says, here's the headline, LHC, Large Hadron Collider, scientist confuses Star Wars with Star Trek, therefore the universe is doomed. I kid you not, that's the headline. It says, Dateline, New Haven, Connecticut. The scientific world is shocked today as Michael Zeller, a professor of physics at Yale who has been working on the Large Hadron Collider, reportedly misquoted the Star Trek tagline, where no man has gone before, and further shattering the universe time-space fabric, attributed it to Star Wars. He said, quote, what did they say in Star Wars? We're going where no man has ever been? See, that's not even the right quote. Well, that's where we're going, unquote. Zeller said in declarations to the Yale Daily News about the LHC's first beam test last Wednesday. Professor Zeller helped create the zero-degree kilometer used in ATLAS, one of the main experiments at CERN's multi-billion-dollar Large Hadron Collider. How lame is that? Geeks all over the world are freaking out. He attributed a Star Trek quote to Star Wars. That's like saying that it was Captain Kirk that said, I've got a bad feeling about this. Now, Captain Kirk may have said, I've got a bad feeling about this, but he didn't do it in such a way as to make it famous, as did Luke in the original Star Wars movie. When he turned to Han and said, I've got a bad feeling about this, and Han said, don't worry, kid, it's only a movie. Well, okay, that was Hardware Wars, but you get the idea. And, of course, the Wookiee said, Gronk. Yes, he did. The Game Master is disagreeing with me. What? Only in the comic books? That's because you can only read Gronk in a comic book. It's hard to go Gronk or whatever in a comic book. How do you spell that? So they've used Gronk. It's a shorthand. So, there you go. Speaking of the Game Master, who, of course, as always, is sitting over here on the couch beside me, ignoring me greatly, while I do the podcast, we'll be doing a Game Master's Bin Spin shortly after recording this very podcast. And he'll be talking about, what are you going to be talking about? Stuff, he says. He's just so precise. I think he's got a new game that he's going to be talking about that's like, you know, like a PC type game. And I think he's counting down to the release of Star Wars The Force Unleashed. I think we're probably, what, on day three? Day three, yes, I was right. Ha, ha. So, 3 more days until The Force Unleashed is unleashed. They're going to unleash The Force Unleashed, and it will be unleashed. I don't know why they have a leash on a game, but anyway. So there you go. I've kind of rambled as much as I can ramble for a while, so I guess we'll probably head on out of here then. What do you think? You think that's a good idea? I think it's a pretty good idea. And of course that means we gotta wait. Oh, there's that music. So it's time once again for the doctor to be out of here.